You could open your Bibles to the 11th chapter of Hebrews. These are scriptures that we have been looking at, and then we'll add to it. Now in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the first verse says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now faith is. So we talked at the beginning of the week for some time on the subject of what faith is. Now, of course, we did not exhaust the subject. We could have taught all the week just on that one thought and still not have exhausted the subject. But we wanted to go on, and so therefore we just... I just don't have any outline, so to speak. I have some notes written down. I have paid very little attention to them, to tell you the truth about the matter. I just trust the Holy Ghost to bring up out of the inside of me whatever He wants for that particular service. And that's the way we go. Then the sixth verse of the same 11th chapter said, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." And so without faith, it's impossible to please Him. If God demands we have faith, and He does, this verse says so. If He demands that I have faith when it's impossible, then I have a right to challenge His justice. But you see, He not only tells us that we must have faith, but He tells us how to get faith. He tells us how faith comes. Romans 10:17 said, "So then faith cometh." Well, how does it come? By hearing. Now, folks usually try to get it every other way except the way God said get it. Some folks will try to get it by praying. Some folks will try to get faith by fasting. Some folks will try to get faith by getting somebody else to pray for them. But that's not the way you do it. You can't find any scripture in the Bible that says it. The Bible said, "So then faith comes by hearing." Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Well, if it came any other way, then that would be a lie. And the Bible is not a lie. It's the truth, isn't it? Now say it out loud. "So then faith cometh by hearing." Say it again. One more time. Amen. Hearing what? Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we talked for some time about how faith comes. Now then, if we know what faith is and we know how to get it, we're two-thirds home. We're two-thirds there. But you see, we got to know how to use our faith. We must know how to turn our faith loose. We must know how to release our faith. And so at the moment, that's what we're talking about, is how to use your faith. How to release your faith. How to turn your faith loose. Now, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Now then, how do you turn your faith loose? Well, we, in teaching, made reference to how to get faith for healing. And we used as a scriptural illustration the 14th chapter of Acts. And in the 7th verse of the 14th chapter of Acts, it said, "And there is Lystra and Derbe, and the cities that lieth round about." And "they" refers to Paul and Barnabas. "And there they preach the gospel." Now the 8th verse of the 14th chapter of Acts tells us that at Lystra there sat by a man impotent in his feet, crippled from his mother's womb, who had never walked. The 9th verse said, "The same, the crippled man, heard Paul speak." Then it went on to say, "Who Paul, steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed." He had faith to be healed. The man was healed on his own faith. He had faith to be healed. But yet he's still sitting there crippled, isn't he? He's got faith to be healed. The Bible said so. But he's still sitting there crippled. Now you see, Paul knew that for faith to work for you, you've got to release it. Just like money in your pocket. If it's going to buy something for you, you've got to release it. It won't buy a loaf of bread and you holding on to it and keeping it in your pocket. Faith won't get you a thing. You can have a heart full of faith and it won't get you a thing unless you release it. Unless you put it to use unless you turn it loose. Well, how do you release your faith? How do you turn your faith loose? Two ways, by word and action. And word even is action, isn't it? And notice that Paul said to this man, he perceived that he had faith to be healed. Now, if he doesn't have faith to be healed, wouldn't do him a bit of good in the world to act. But he's got faith to be healed. So Paul said, stand upright on thy feet. And when he acted his faith, the healing was manifested. Praise God. Now the Lord Jesus Christ, in speaking on the subject of faith, and thank God he spoke on the subject of faith, in the 11th chapter of Mark's gospel, and in the 23rd verse, Jesus says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. Believe where? In his heart. That those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So here Jesus says that one way that you release your faith is by saying with your mouth what you believe in your heart. Now run with me real quickly to the 10th chapter of the book of Romans. Notice Romans, the 10th chapter, the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th verses. Notice the 8th verse first. But what saith it? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Let's stop and look at that for a moment. Paul said then that what I'm preaching, the gospel that I'm preaching, the word of God that I'm preaching, is the word of faith. It's called the word of faith. Why is it called the word of faith? Because faith comes by hearing that word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now I want you to notice that he said for that faith to work for you though, it must not only be in your heart, it must be in your mouth. But what saith it, he said? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. Your heart here is your spirit. Not talking about the physical organ. You couldn't have faith in your physical organ, the heart, any more than you could have faith in the physical organ, your ear, or your nose, or your toe. No, when the Bible speaks of the heart here, he's speaking of the center of man's being, the heart of his being, which is spirit. Paul said, I pray God, he starts with the very heart of man. I pray God, your whole spirit. Then he comes to the outside. Your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Son of Man or the Lord Jesus Christ. So he said, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Then he goes on in the 9th and 10th verses to illustrate how it works. He said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, it wouldn't do any good to confess Jesus as Lord. See, the King James said, confess the Lord Jesus. The margin said, Jesus as Lord. It wouldn't do you any good to confess Jesus as Lord, even your Lord, if you didn't believe he is raised from the dead. And you could confess that without believing he's raised from the dead. But it wouldn't mean a thing in the world. It wouldn't mean any more than snapping your finger or blinking your eye. Wouldn't mean a thing in the world. You see, that faith has to be both places, in your heart and in your mouth. And a lot of folks are saying a lot of things, but it's got to be in your heart, not just in your mouth. And so he said, for that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the confession that saves. Now notice the 10th verse. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Righteousness here doesn't always mean that every time. But here in this place it means right standing with God. And so with the heart man believes unto righteousness. That is, man believes that he's in right standing with God. Why does he believe that? Because the word of God tells us that Jesus died for our sins, according to the scripture. That him who knew no sin was made to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. And that he not only died, but that he was raised from the dead. The scripture said he arose for our justification. He died for our sins. He arose for our justification. Now, the same Greek word that's translated righteous is also translated just. Many translations read that he was raised for our righteousness instead of saying justification, because the same Greek word's used in both cases. And so then he was raised for our righteousness. What does that mean, he was raised for our righteousness? He was raised that we might be set right with God. That's the thing that sets us right with God, is what Jesus did, not what I did, not what you did. And so you believe that, see, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the heart he believes that, but that's not all of it. Then he must confess it. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Now, I want you to see something. You see, faith, no matter whether it's saving faith that we all begin with in this Christian life, or all the way from saving faith to the gift of special faith. Remember in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, the Word of God tells us, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another discerning of spirits. Now, discerning of spirits is listed a little further in the list, down in the list, but I picked it up and pulled it up there with those because they're all revelation manifestations. To another, special faith. The King James just said faith. But you see, every believer already has faith, so it can't just be talking about faith, period. And so the Amplified Translation has it correctly translated to another special faith. I've already got saving faith. I've already got faith to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I get that from the Word of God because the Word of God tells me what's mine. I already have faith to be healed because the Word of God tells me himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. I already have faith for my finances to be met because the Word of God said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I don't need special faith to be saved. I don't need special faith to be filled with the Spirit. I don't need special faith to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. I don't need special faith to be healed. I don't need special faith to receive my finances. But my God shall supply all your need. I have scriptural faith. I believe what the Word of God said. I don't have to have special faith, generally speaking, to have my prayers heard and answered. Because you see, from the beginning of the Bible to the end, God has promised to hear and answer prayer. In the Old Testament, he said, call unto me and I'll answer thee. Didn't say a word in the world about special faith. Call unto me. See, that gives you faith to know he'll answer you because he said he would. Hallelujah. You wouldn't have to, now you might have to have special faith if I'd do something for you if I didn't tell you. But now if I told you, if you need a car, don't bother about it, I'll loan you mine. Well, then you can have faith. Because I told you I would. But if I didn't tell you that, you might have to have special faith. And it probably wouldn't work for you. Amen. Are you listening to me? But now listen real carefully. So, call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And all through the Old Testament, you see, many such scriptures. But then when we come to the New, and we're primarily concerned with the New, Jesus said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For a few that asketh receiveth. No, everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh it shall be opened. See, that gives me faith. Praise God, because Jesus said so. And then he said, what things shall we ask in prayer, believing. And all things, whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Hallelujah. And then again, you see these marvelous verse here. For instance, that 24th verse of Mark 11. I read the 23rd, but Mark 11, 24. Therefore, Jesus said, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray. Now he's talking about prayer. When you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. Praise God. Then when you come to Luke's gospel again, Luke quotes about the same thing Matthew did. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock shall be opened unto you. For he that seeketh find, he that hath received, he that seeketh find him. Knock and it shall be opened unto him. And so on. And then when you come to John's gospel, then John records some statements Jesus made about prayer. somewhere that the other three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, doesn't record. He said that Jesus said in John 15:7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Praise God. And then when we come to the epistles that are written to the church, as you see, and written to us, well, you see that they constantly encourage you to pray. Praise God. And that's just general faith, you see. And we have faith that he hears and answers prayer. Why do we believe it? Why do we have faith? Because we have God's word. And anything that God promised in his word, we have a right to believe it. Praise God. It's when we get out beyond what God has promised in his word that you have to have special faith. And thank God he does give special faith. Praise God. Now, well, you see, what I started to say, however, was that all the way from saving faith, where you began, to special faith. Everybody must have saving faith or you can't be saved. Only a few will ever have special faith. Only as the Spirit wills is it manifested. And most Christians will live and die and never manifest special faith. Yet, all the way from saving faith to special faith, every order of faith, every level of faith works the same way. You have to believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. Now, why will you believe it in your heart, even when it comes to special faith? Because God speaks to you ahead of time. Smith Wigglesworth said, when the gift of faith is in operation, you know ahead of time what God's going to do. Hallelujah. He was mightily used of God. I suppose that the gift of faith was manifested through him more through any individual than I know of since the days of the Lord Jesus Christ or that we have any record of. One of the Assemblies of God ministers from Great Britain said, and he knew him personally, he's a young man. In fact, he preached in his church the last week before he went home to be with the Lord at age 87. And he said, I personally know of 23 people that was raised from the dead under his ministry. Oh, wish I could get somebody like that. Wigglesworth said this, the first person that was raised from the dead, and he only in his sermons that were recorded referred to three of them. And he said, I penetrated heaven with my faith. What he meant was my general, ordinary faith, you know, saving faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God that every Christian has. I penetrated heaven, and the answer was no. But there came, way he described it, there came down a faith from heaven. See, it was that special manifestation and took hold of my spirit. And when I reached out toward heaven with that faith, it wouldn't be denied. And I said, you see, you got to release that faith now. And I said to the person lying on the bed, arise. And that dead person rose up, praise God, and came back to life. Hallelujah. A few times, I've had a few sprinklings. I wished I had more, but I don't control it. You see, the word of God said, but the manifestation of the Spirit is divided to every man severally as he wills. And so special faith is a manifestation of the Spirit, and it's divided to every man severally as he wills, as the Spirit wills, you see. But when that anointing comes, you know what God's going to do ahead of time, but you've still got to release it. And so there was one night there when we was in Philadelphia, when the Spirit of God moved on. I knew exactly what God was going to do. I was almost, as we say, speaking colloquially, laughing up my sleeve. Hallelujah. You met. They were four ladies. I believe there were four, wasn't they, sitting over here in wheelchairs. And so I said to one of them, now I'm going to point to you again. I pointed to her first. You right there. You, me? Yeah, you. I'm going to point to you again. When I point to you, the Holy Ghost will come on you and heal you. Arise and walk. And when I say arise and walk in Jesus' name, you'll get up. And so standing on the platform, I said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, arise and walk. She began to make an effort, rose up, started walking. Learned later that she'd been in the chair 3 years, bound with arthritis, and then she had emphysema. And right at first didn't walk too much. But I kept hearing somebody say, walk, walk, walk. Looked around to see who it was, come to find out it was me saying it. It's coming out of my mouth. I'm a voice in that, you see. And she kept a walking. And time she got across the front, she's walking better. And time she got over here, she's a walking, she's free. And she stood around later and told some of them, I mean 2 or 3 days later at the book table. She told some of them, said, I still can't believe it. Well, she wasn't healed by her faith, and she wasn't healed by my faith. She was healed by manifestation of special faith. Well, I wish God do that for me. Well, it don't work, but wishing anyhow. And besides that, that's up to him, not up to you. You see, let God be God. He's running the thing, not you anyway. Now, why didn't you speak to those others that way? Because I didn't have the same manifestation. Can you minister to those other people? Yeah, by laying on of hands. Amen. And get them to believe and receive. Praise the Lord. Wigglesworth talks about the first time he ever came to America. And he... He was in San Francisco. Actually, he preached out of San Francisco there some way. They had up a tent. This was way back 1923. And so when they found out he was there, a visitor from England, and he had come just because God said it for him to come. He didn't have any place to preach or anything. Well, they put him up one time to testify. And after he talked a little bit, they saw he had something. So they put him up to preach at night. And so the camp meeting's over. He's there in San Francisco. And he's riding that old trolley car. They still got some of them. They run there, you know, as a tourist attraction. And he's riding that, you know, along. And it stopped here at the street corner, you see, for something to get off and something to get on. And there's a newsboy there, you see, with his bag of newspapers. And he fell down on the sidewalk with some kind of a seizure or something. And Wigglesworth said, when you give to face an operation, you know what God's going to do ahead of time. Suddenly the anointing came on him. He never knew the boy, never was there before. He jumped off of the streetcar, run up there and said, "Come out of him, devil, in the name of Jesus." Set him up on his feet, gave him his bag, and he took off and he ran and grabbed the streetcar and went on down the road. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, he didn't make a practice of doing that, but when the Spirit manifested himself, you see, he did. But he still had to say it. That's what I wanted to get over to you. Whether it's saving faith, whosoever shall say, confess. When you confess something, you say something, don't you? Whosoever shall confess Jesus as Lord. Whosoever shall say, "Jesus is my Lord." And believe in his heart, God raised him from the dead, he'll be saved. For with the mouth, confession's made unto salvation. For with the mouth, man says he's saved. Hallelujah. Same thing with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Same thing with divine healing. Praise God. And same thing with answered prayer. Somebody said answered prayer always ends in the glad confession. It's mine. I have it now. Glory to God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That's the reason we encourage people. Find scriptures that covers your case. And then you've got a solid foundation for faith. Praise God. And if you'll hear that scripture, and if you'll meditate on it, and hear it long enough, it'll register on the inside of you in your spirit, and then it'll work for you. Now, I can remember when I was on the bed of sickness that I struggled at first. You see, at first I thought I had to die. You know, because I'd never heard anybody preach healing, and still hadn't heard anybody preach healing. But when I was born again, I thought I was a Christian because I belonged to the church. But I found out it wasn't, so I was born again there on the bed of sickness. And when I was born again, of course, the Holy Ghost came to dwell in me. It's one thing to be born of the Spirit, another thing to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Just like it's one thing to have one swallow of water, another thing to have a glass of water. One thing to have a glass of water, and another thing to be full of water. Water is a type of the Spirit, you know. Somebody said, "Well, how can you tell when you get full?" Well, keep on drinking till you get full. How can you tell when you get full? All I know is the Bible said they is all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Glory to God. And so up to that time, you may have had all kind of experiences in the Holy Ghost. Thank God for them. Don't deny one of them. But keep on drinking till you get full and overflowing. Hallelujah. Now, but the Holy Ghost comes to dwell in you. He came to dwell in me. And as I've said many times, something on the inside said to me, I don't mean in words. I don't mean in words. An inward intuition, an inward conviction. Something inside me. You had things to happen to you, haven't you, you know? And you said afterwards, you told somebody, you know, something on the inside me told me not to do that. Well, it didn't just say, "Don't do that." But there was an inward conviction. There's something on the inside, you see. An inward intuition. An inward conviction. And so something on the inside of me, that way, told me I could be healed. I ain't paying attention to it. My. My faith's in the doctors. My faith's in medical science. Now, I still believe in doctors and medical science, but I don't have faith in them like I do in God, in the Word of God, because I know that they're limited. And so my faith in them is limited. But then, my faith was totally in the doctors, you know. I thought they could help me. But then one after another, Dr. Mathis, Dr. Weissall, Dr. Wolford, Dr. Urban, Dr. Robertson, one after the five of them, nothing we can do. Nothing can be done. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You have to die. Well, then I began to decide. Now, you understand, this didn't just happen in a few hours, in a few days, or even a few weeks. I'm talking about something happened over a period of months. You understand? Then I finally decided, and here's doubt again. I didn't know, you see. When you don't know, you do doubt. Because faith begins where the will of God's known. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, you see. And so, it's built and based on the Word. So I didn't know what the Word said. But I thought this. Well, I can't be any worse off because they've all said you're going to die. I'll start listening. See, nobody told me to do it. I heard no teaching on it. And just as a 16-year-old now, I'll start listening to what's said to me on the inside. And so here that is again. It had been persisting for months. Something on the inside when you'd pray. And I'd pray every day, every night. Pray and talk to God, sometimes for an hour or two at a time. One night, all night long, I talked to God. Never lifted my voice, but talked to God real quietly there on the bed. I do that all the time yet. I got started off that way, and I guess it formed a habit. And so when that came around again, something on the inside, an intuition said, an inward conviction said you could be healed. I began to talk to it. I didn't know that's the Holy Ghost. But I said with my mouth, you know, not out loud, but loud enough. You'd been standing by the bed, you'd heard it. Right by the bed, you know, just quietly. I said, how? Can I really be healed? Can I be healed and not die at this early age of 16 years of age? Dr. W.S. Wysong, my grandfather wasn't a wealthy man. He had a lot of property. In the process of time, when it became more valuable, well, of course, he had more. But he had some means, and he inquired about sending me to the great Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. And you got to realize, 1933, 1934, most people went by train. And so he inquired, you know, about the train ticket and what it would cost, you see, and someone to go with me, and then phoned up there and talked to them, you see. And the Mayo Clinic said, one of the Mayos actually talked to one of the Mayo doctors himself. And they said, well, Dr. Wysong, W.S. Wysong, seniors, right down there in McKinney, Texas. He's the greatest surgeon in the world. In fact, we have him to come every year up here for a couple of weeks and sometimes longer. Because you see, way back 1928, a baby was born there in McKinney in the hospital without an esophagus, without a tube from his throat to his stomach. And he's the first man in the world that ever made one for that baby, and that baby lived. And so the Mayo Clinic asked him to come up there and show him his technique, how he did it. They said he's a natural born surgeon. He's one of the greatest doctors in the world. And if he said nothing could be done, then you'd be wasting your time and wasting your money sending the boy up here. Well, Dr. Wysong said, as far as medical science has any record of, no one in your condition has ever lived. No one has ever lived past the age of 16. 4 months before my 16th birthday, I became totally bedfast. I'm following just the way they said I should go. 4 months before my 16th birthday, I became totally bedfast. So now then, here I am. They can't help me. Doctors can't help me. We've sought as far as to the Mayo Clinic. They said if Dr. Wysong said nothing could be done, you'd be wasting your time and wasting your money to send the boy up here. So there's no hope for me. There was no help for me from the medical standpoint. Something inside, though, keeps telling me you could be healed. You don't have to die at this early age of 16 years of age. Now 16, I was 15 to begin with. You don't have to die. Well, can I be healed? Yes. Yes. Well, how? Something on the inside of me said, it's all in the Word. It's in the Bible. It's in the book. It's in the Word of God. So I said to them, I'm bedfast, bring me the book. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, friends, from then on, I slept with the Bible or a testament in my arms, lying on my chest. Never away from me. If it's there, I'm going to find it. One of my texts said, he that cometh unto God must believe he is. Well, I knew he was. I'm acquainted with him. I'm born again. Must believe that he is. Now listen. And that he is a rewarder. Of whom? Of them that diligently seek him. Brother, I sought him diligently. I mean, if it's in there, I'm going to find it. I didn't read anything but the Bible. Well, I tried to talk to you. See, I began to see things from the Bible when I read it then. I tried to talk to Mama. Bless her darling heart. She was saved all right, but just a baby Christian and a member of a church that doesn't believe in the supernatural. Well, the new birth supernatural, of course, but nothing beyond that. Well, now, son, I don't know. You know, Dr. So-and-so, you know, he's a great man of God. Pastor for all those years I was growing up, you know. Only pastor I ever knew, you know. And he said, that's not for us nowadays. Well, I talked to Granny. We lived with my grandmother and grandfather. Our home had been broken. And I talked to Granny. And Granny said, well, no, son, now Jesus healed when he was here on earth. And the apostles had the power to heal. But when the last apostle died, all that ceased. Then I talked to Grandpa. Now, Grandpa never talked much. I think that's where I get my... you know, believe it or not, when I first started preaching, I never talked to anybody. Of course, I came up under Grandpa. My daddy left when I was six. time I was 9 years of age, you see, even before I lived there, but I lived with my grandparents. And Grandpa never talked. He's a quiet man. I guarantee you, if he is alive today, of course, he'd be 100 and some odd years old if he's alive today, because he lived to be almost 90. But if you went there with me to visit, and I said, Grandpa, this is so-and-so. Well, he'd shake hands with you and say, how do you do? Have a seat. And you'd sit down, and you'd sit there all day long and never say a word to you. Never say a word to you. Now, can you believe that I used to be that way? My wife used to get after me. She's pretty good about that. No, she's not the least bit bossy, thank God for that. Or a blab mouth. But you see, as a pastor, I pastored 12 years, and only the last church I pastored did I have a study in the church. A room, you see, pastor's study. I had a desk in the corner of the living room, or in the corner of the bedroom. Most of the time, a desk and books and a bookcase in the corner of the living room, see. And I'm studying, you know, and maybe some of the members come to visit. They'd knock on the door. She'd open the door. They'd talk. I'd never even look up, never even speak to them. They'd be there an hour, and I'd never speak to them. She'd say, honey, some of them think I'm pretty good at that yet. But I don't know why. I don't try to be that way. I try not to be. I've changed. You know, I'd give up on it if I didn't see how far I've come. My wife bound to receive a rich reward in heaven. Because I'm one of the most peculiar fellows you've ever seen. Her and the Lord together has done a good job on me. Well, anyway, where were we? I mean, when we got into all that mess. Anybody remember where we were? Yeah, talk to Grandpa. I just wanted to see if you knew. I knew all the time. Amen. Now, I did get a little bit of hope from Grandpa. I asked Grandpa, and like I said, he wouldn't talk much, but he didn't talk to me. And so I asked him one time, just began to ask him a few questions, because I had begun to get a hold of a few scriptures, like Mark 11, 23, and 24. And I'd been meditating on it for months, and thinking about it. And Grandpa said, well, now, son, I'm going to be honest with you. I never have agreed even with the people where I've gone to church. He said, I believe that if you have faith, and I believe you can have faith, that you could even walk on water nowadays, like Peter did. Well, I wasn't interested in walking on water, but I was interested in getting off of that bed. And I just said to myself real quickly, well, if that's the case, I'm going to be one of them that's going to do it. Hallelujah. Praise God. But then the devil, all that devil is a meanie. He wants to keep you sick. He's the one that caused it to begin. He wants to keep you bedfast. And to my mind, I had all kinds of trouble between my heart and my mind. Here and here, you see. Until you get your mind renewed with the Word of God, you'll have it. And so I'd come back to Mark 11, 24. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe and receive them and you'll have them. And the devil would say to me, something would say to my, like a voice speaking, to me just as real, though I knew it wasn't audible, and yet it was just as real as somebody speaking audible. Now, that doesn't mean what things soever you desire, you know, like healing, because that's been done away with, or material or financial blessing. All that means is what things soever you desire spiritually. See, some folks and the devil want to spiritualize everything. What things soever you desire spiritually when you pray, believe you'll receive them. So he put the light out. Well, I decided then that I'd get my pastor to come. I know he'd know what that verse means. And I'd been bedfast, you see, for 6 months and he hadn't come. But I asked Granny, would she go? He just lived 2 blocks of where we live. And so she went there and rang the doorbell and asked Dr. C. And told him about it. He remembered me, you know. And she told him, of course, what all the doctors said, that I had to die. Well, Miss Drake, he said, I've got to go to Dallas today, and then tomorrow I'm real busy. She went on a Tuesday. I could come Thursday is the first day I could come. Well, she said, that'd be fine. And he said, now, what time of the day would be the best time? And so she said, because she's telling me what she told him, she said, well, his mother bathes him about 8 or 8:30 in the morning, and he's the most alert then. From about 10 or 10:30 on, he just lies there like he's in a stupor. And I did. I couldn't contact folks. And so he said, well, it's just right around the corner here, just a couple of blocks. I'll come around there at 8:30 Thursday morning. Well, thank God he never did come. Now, I cried. Now, listen to me real carefully. I cried 3 days and nights because he didn't come. and had an awful headache, a dark brown headache. Thank God that's the last one I've ever had. But I cried 3 days and nights because he didn't come. But I learned a great lesson. Things that you cry about today, you'll laugh about tomorrow, the majority of time. You say, why do you say that? Well, after I was healed and raised up from the bed of sickness, I went right back to the same church. Didn't know where else to go. Gave him a testimony. You know, to individuals, they didn't have testimony services in that church where you stood up and testified. But the pastor said the poor boy stayed in bed so long it affected his mind. Why, you know God didn't heal him. He don't do things like that nowadays. But Dr. Roberts, who's a member of the same church, the doctor, the medical doctor who's in the same church, said it's a miracle of God. God worked a miracle. Praise God. But the pastor said the poor boy stayed in bed. Well, now see, if he'd have come, what he'd have told me, don't you? And I'd have believed him. I would have believed him and died. But thank God he didn't come. Well, after those 3 days and nights of me bawling and squalling and crying, and with a dark brown headache, my grandmother said, well, now, son. Now, see, Granny belonged to another church yet. Me and Mama belonged to one church, and Granny belonged to another one, you see. But she said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll walk down here in the north part of town to Reverend So-and-so. He's a minister and a pastor of the same denomination. Not the church I was, you know, the local congregation I was a member of, but the same denomination. And I've got confidence in him. Granny said, he'll come to see you. Well, she walked away down there in the north part of town, elderly, nearly 70 years of age, no means of transportation, you know, buses like they are today in that same town. Walked. And he said he'd come. Thank God he never did come. Well, I decided then, see, what I'm going to do is ask him. What does Mark 11, 23, 24 mean? What does it say? Does it mean what it says? If it does, I'm coming off of this bed. But they didn't come. So you can't, I didn't have any preacher to ask. And I had faith, you know, in my kind of preachers. And so my aunt said that her pastor would come. Well, I didn't much believe he would. Not after my pastor and the other preacher of my denomination didn't come. But my aunt came in one day with a report. She said, I talked to Dr. W., her pastor, another church yet, another denomination yet. And I asked him if he remembered my little nephew. You see, when I went to live with Grandpa and Granny, my aunt, my mother's youngest sister, was still at home. She hadn't married. She was, up there somewhere around 30. She finally made it, but she was an old maid, you see. Pardon me, some of you folks. She was superintendent of the junior department in her church. And I was 9. And so, see, 9, 10, and 11, you're a junior. And so those 3 years, see, she had a car. She had to go right in front of my church to get to hers. Had to go that way. That's the closest way to go. But she wouldn't let me ride unless I went to her church. So for those 3 years, I was in the junior department and went to her church. And I heard Dr. W. preach 6 times in that 3 years, because she's Sunday school superintendent of the junior department and always stayed for church every Christmas and Easter. So I heard Brother W., Dr. W., preach 6 times. So she asked him, do you remember my little nephew that used to come with us? Now, see, I'm up 16 years old now. You remember him? Oh, yes, he remembered him. Well, she went on to tell him what all the doctors said and how that I had to die, and he wants to see a preacher. See, I'd ask people, I told about relatives, I ask other people that came to visit me, Christians. They tell you all kinds of things. Oh, my, put the light out. Met you dead. One lady, you know, said, well, I had a nephew, you know, just like you, and he died. Real encouraged. Same shape you're in, he died. And I'd ask different ones who came, could I be healed? I mean, does faith work today? No, the Lord's not in the healing business anymore. Some of them said, God sent that on me. Some of these people I asked said, God sent that on me. They almost turned me against God. I knew I'd been born again. I knew I'm a child of God. But I said to the Lord, as I lay there in that bed, 15, 16 years of age, left alone in the nighttime, when all the lights are out and everybody's in bed, left alone with my own thoughts. And you can think a lot. Here's some Christians tell me that you put this off? Did you cause me, a little innocent babe, to be born with a deformed heart? Never run and play like other little children? Oh God, if I die now, I'm going to die having never really lived. I haven't lived yet. If you're that kind of God, you can think what you want to. That's your problem. I said to him, if you're that kind of God, I'd rather die and go to hell than to go where you are. Because you're mean. But you see, that's what Christians told me. I couldn't accept that. My heart said, though. My spirit said, though, you could be healed. So I'll get the preacher. Maybe the preacher knows more than the people. None of them came. My aunt said Dr. W would come. I didn't much believe he would, but one day he came. I heard the sound of his voice. Now, I couldn't see. I mean, when he came by my bed, I could hear him. But all I could see was a shadow. I couldn't tell if a person was standing right by my bed, whether it's a man or a woman, a horse or a cow. All I could see was a shadow. But I heard his voice, and I recognized his voice. And he picked up my hand and held it in his. And I could see the shape, you know, sort of an image stooped down over me. And I was trying to say, get the Bible. See, early in the morning, he came in the afternoon. Early in the morning, I was, like my grandmother said, early in the morning, I was a little more alert. And I was trying to say, get the Bible. Get Grandma's old Methodist Bible lying there on the table by the bed. Open it to Mark 11:24. Read it. Tell me if it's so. If it's so, I'm coming off of this bed. Tell me if it's so. But you see, I was partially paralyzed, and my tongue and my throat was partially paralyzed. Now, folks around with you all the time can understand what you're saying. And then you're not excited early in the morning. Otherwise, not this time of day, none of them could understand me. And so your tongue doesn't work right. And all I could do, you've seen those dear people. I'm not making fun of them. If I was, I'd be making fun of myself. All I could do was make sounds. I'm trying to tell him, get the Bible. And he looked down in my poor, pitiful face. And he patted the back of my hand. And he put on his professional voice. I'd say, no, I don't like professionalism. Professionalism in the pulpit hadn't got any place. People come to pray, put on some kind of, our God, Father. Well, you don't talk that way every day. He hears you talk every day. He knows how you talk. You know all the time those folks said, our God. They don't know a thing in the world about the Father. Not a thing in the world. Not a thing in the world. And he patted my hand. I could feel that. And I could hear his voice. I couldn't see him. I saw an image. Couldn't tell who it was, but I knew who it was. But it sounded his voice. Patted my hand and said, just be patient, my boy. In a few more days, it'll all be over. Laid my hand down and left. Oh, brother. I heard some unkind soul, bless his darling heart and stupid head, some time ago preaching on radio. And he was giving we folks who believe in divine healing down the country. You know what I mean? He said they're all hypocrites. God doesn't heal today. They're liars. Oh, he got rough. I'll tell you one. He talked about people out there, you that are bedfast. You know, the doctors are giving up on you. He just wanted to encourage them to go on home, be faithful. God bless them. Thank God he will. But he said, I'll tell you one thing. They've never been sick. They've never been on a deathbed. They wouldn't talk that way. And I remember I cried out with tears. I've been there, shut in between four walls. I've been there, staring at the ceiling and couldn't turn yourself. They turned me on a sheet. I can't turn from side to side. I've been there when the doctor said, you can't live. I've been there when the preacher said, just be patient, my boy. A few more days, it'll all be over. I've been there when at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the sun's shining bright on the outside, but it's dark. It's dark in that room. It's dark. It's dark. It's dark. There's no faith and nearly all hope's gone. Oh, it's dark. It's dark. And after his visit, I waited for 3 months to die. I thought, well, that's it. I mean, he ought to know he's a preacher. If it's so, he would have told me. But it must not be so because he didn't tell me. And so I'll just go ahead and die. And I waited to die. 3 months. And then again, when I would get into close fellowship with God, sure, I prayed every day. Praise God every day because I'm saved. But when you had that time of special communion, your spirit, in communion with the Father of spirits, there that something is on the inside again, said, you can be healed. You can be healed. You can be healed. Where is it? It's in the Word. It's in the Word. See, I didn't even look at the Bible for 3 months. I said, bring the book back to me. Bring the book back to me. And then the fall of the year, 1933, when the cool weather set in, I felt some better. I regained some use of the upper part of my body. They could prop me up on a couple of pillows and I could read for as much as an hour at a time. And I got back in the book. I'd read it before and tried to make a stab at it. You know what I mean? Stand on before. So I went through Matthew again, Mark, and got down to Mark 11, 23 and 24 again. And something inside me said, that's it. That's it right there. That's it right there. So I stayed with that for about 30 days. Every day I'd read it, Mark 11, 23 and 24. So one day, mama's bathed me, propped me up on a couple of pillows. Bible's open again to Mark 11, 23, Mark 11, 24. In fact, I could read an hour at a time. I really started in with the first chapter of Mark and read down to Mark 11, 23 and 24. Stopped again to meditate on Mark 11, 23 and 24. By reading these first 11 chapters and down to the 23rd verse, 10 chapters and 23 and 24 verses of the 11th chapter, you naturally read the 5th chapter of Mark. And so I stopped to meditate on Mark 11, 23 and 24. Now it says that, and I said, Lord, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. When you were here on earth, you said, and I quoted again, Mark 11, 23 and 24. I'm going to believe it. If you told the truth, I'm coming off of this bed. If I don't get off of this bed, it'll be because you lied about it. Then the Bible didn't say, I'm going to have them to throw it away. I'm going to have them to throw this book away. By then, I'd got my own Bible. I'm going to have them throw it away. Now, when I said that, on the inside of me, instead of him being angry at me, on the inside, see, he's in here. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And my head's all, you know, still a-buzzing with this. Well, healing's been done away. Is healing for us today? No, it's been done away. No, it said here, though. So, on the inside of me, I heard these words in here. Did you notice in the 5th chapter of Mark, the woman with the issue of blood, that her faith made her whole? I heard that inside me, a still small voice. In my room, I answered out loud. I don't mean real loud. If you stand by the bed, you'd heard me. I answered out loud, no, I didn't notice that. So I turned the book back. I didn't have full use of my hand, you see. But I could lay my hand on the leaf and slide it. I couldn't pick it up, you know, I can't fingers. I laid my hand, whole hand on the leaf and slide that one over. And then slowly move the hand over and slide that one. So I slid back about 5 pages or so. And I got back there to Mark 5. And I started reading about that woman with the issue of blood. Never have forgotten about it. I mean, I read it, and this time, I'd read it before many times, but this time it just stamped itself on me. There's a certain woman with the issue of blood of 12 years, suffered many things and many physicians, and nothing better, spent all of her living, nothing better but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may but touch his clothes, it shall be whole. Straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she's healed that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing within himself that power had gone, virtue or power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said, Master, behold, the multitude thronged thee and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see who had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Now, verse 34. And he said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. I read that. I'd read it before. I don't know how many times. I don't know how many times. But this time I read it. And so I answered back. Yeah, it does say that, doesn't it? Yeah, I didn't notice that. It does say her faith made her whole. On the inside to me, then I heard these words. Did you ever hear anybody say faith's been done away with? See, people said healing's been done away with. But her faith made her heal, made her whole, healed her. Well, I thought for a few moments. And I have a good memory. You know that. And I went back, you know, I could see Dr. Hudson, who was our pastor so many years, standing in the pulpit. No, he never did say faith been done away with. And at least the other pastor never did say faith been done away with. And those 6 times I heard Dr. W, he never said faith been done away with. and my Sunday school teacher, Mr. McClure, for so many years. He followed us. He started teaching us when we were little bitty kids. You know, had these little old cards. And he just followed us, you know, and taught us on up there. And he was my main Sunday school teacher. It was a lady that taught us something. And he never did say. So I answered back then. No, never did hear anybody say faith's been done away with. And then I heard these words. No, and you never will. For if faith has been done away with, then there are no Christians today. There is no church. There is no one saved. For Ephesians 2:8. Now, if somebody had asked me what Ephesians 2:8 said, I could not have told them. But that inward voice knew, the Holy Ghost. He's the one that inspired Paul right to begin with. He said, for Ephesians 2:8 said, by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself is a gift of God. So if faith's been done away with, then nobody's saved. No one. I said, that's right. Yeah. Faith can't be done away with. For if faith's done away with, then no one is saved. There is no church. There are no believers. There are no Christians. That's right. Faith hadn't been done away with. Because I have faith. And then on the inside of me, I heard these words. One of the greatest revelations ever received. I heard these words. If that woman's faith made her whole, then your faith can make you whole. I knew it could. I knew it. From that moment, I knew my faith could make me whole. You say, did it? No, I stayed bedfast months. How come you'd stay bedfast all those months? Listen, if somebody had come and tied my hands and feet and took a baseball bat and said, now we're going to beat you to death. Unless you'll say your faith, you don't have enough faith, you don't have faith, your faith will not make you whole. Unless you say it won't do it, we're going to beat you to death. I'd say, go ahead and beat me to death. I'll die saying my faith will make me whole. Because I heard that inside my spirit. God told me my faith will make me whole. Why didn't it do it? That's the point I started with. We're back where we started. Why didn't it do it? I didn't know how to release it. I didn't know how to make that faith work for me. I knew I had it. I'd have died saying I got it. But I didn't know. It's so easy. But nobody taught me. I didn't know altogether. I listened to some extent. But I saw eventually if I'd listened all the time to what something inside me was telling me, I'd have been off of that bed long before it was. But you see, it was on Matthew, Mark 11, 23 and 24 again. The 8th day of August, 1934. When there it is. Whosoever shall say and not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he says shall come to pass. He'll have whatsoever he saith. Therefore send you what things ever you desire. When you pray, no, he said, I didn't pray anymore. Done that for so many days and weeks and months. Believe you receive them. And I said, I see it. I've got to start believing it in my heart. And then I got to say it with my mouth. I'd never done that before. I believed it in my heart all the time. But I wouldn't say it with my mouth. I'd look to see if it had come to pass yet. And then I'm going to say it. So I started to say it. And when I started saying it, to make a long story short, it wasn't an hour. It wasn't even that long. Till I'm standing out of the bed, on the floor, and my paralysis had disappeared like a snowball in the hot August sunshine. It'd get hot down in Texas in August. And my heart condition's gone. And the incurable blood disease is gone. And I've been a-going in a hop, skip, and a jump, praise God, for the last 50 years, telling folks about it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, let's talk a little bit more about how to turn your faith loose. Faith is revealed in action and in word. The woman with the issue of blood in the 5th chapter of Mark's gospel. The 25th verse tells us that she had the issue of blood 12 years. It tells us that she had suffered many things and many physicians. It tells us that she had spent all of her living. It tells us that she is nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Then we come to the 27th verse, which said, and when she heard of Jesus, she heard. She came in the press behind and touched his garment. Verse 28, for she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Verse 34, Jesus said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. So then, what she said was her faith speaking. Now, where and how did she get faith to be healed? Her faith is revealed in word and action. It wouldn't do her any good just to say, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole and stay home. But she acted on what she said and touched his clothes, not him, his garment. And so, you see, her faith was revealed both in word and in action. Now, how did she get faith? Well, it said when she heard of Jesus. Notice that we never hear of the woman till she hears of Jesus. Faith comes by hearing. You see, Jesus is the Word of God. He's the living Word. And this written Word that God's given us has been given to us to unveil and reveal. This written Word unveils and reveals the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? So then, that's how she got faith. And then we see her releasing her faith. How? By saying, for she said. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And Jesus said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. So what she said was her faith speaking. Now, whether you realize it or not, what you say is your faith speaking. Notice again that 23rd verse of the 11th chapter of Mark, where Jesus said, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, what did the woman with the issue of blood get? She got exactly what she said. I was preaching one time for the Full Gospel Businessmen in a regional convention in St. Louis, Missouri. And after I had talked in the afternoon on the subject of faith, I was making my way to my hotel room. And a lady in the lobby of the hotel stopped and said, Brother Hagin, may I speak to you? Now, this convention was in the month of August. And so I said, yes, you may. And so she said, well, I want you to promise me something. Well, I said, what is it? Well, I want you to promise me you'll do it before I tell you. I said, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to make somebody promise I don't know what it is. Well, she said, I want you to pray for my son every day that he'll be saved. Well, I said, first of all, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to make that promise because I probably won't think of him every day. In the first place, I don't even know him. Well, she said, my son's about 15 and a half years old. Now, she said, when he was younger, she said, my husband is dead. When he was younger, I wasn't in church. And so he wasn't brought up in church, you know, when he was a younger boy. Just in the last 3 or 4 years, she had gotten into church, gotten saved, gotten baptized with the Holy Ghost. And so she said, therefore, you know, I didn't bring him up in church and all that. And I can't do a thing in the world with him. He's out, you know, at nighttime, 15 and a half. And I don't know where he is, running with a gang. I just lie awake at night, you know, waiting for the telephone to ring, for the police to call and say they've arrested him, got him on a dope charge or something, you know. And she said, I want you to pray for him that he'll be saved. Well, I said, I'm not going to do it. It wouldn't do any good. Now, that may startle you, but you have to say things sometimes to wake people up. You know, Paul wrote to the saints at Rome and said, it is high time that you're waking out of your sleep. He's writing to Christians, not sinners, that you're waking out of your sleep. Did you ever try to wake up somebody that's asleep naturally? Well, sometimes you got to shake them, get pretty rough with them. And I'll tell you the truth about it. If you was in a house somewhere and it was on fire and they couldn't get you awake, you'd appreciate it if somebody slapped you 2 or 3 times and get you awake and get you out of there, wouldn't you? But sometimes, spiritually speaking, you almost have to slap people a time or two and get them awake, see? Well, I know I spoke pretty plain and pointed and point blank to that woman and, you know, just to get her attention, you see. I knew what I was doing, you see. She said, you're not. You know, she just seemed like she was taken aback. She almost hurt her feelings, you know. She almost tuned up and started bawling. You mean you're really not? I said, I'm really not. Well, she said. And then I said, it wouldn't do any good if I did pray for him. Huh? See, they think, oh, he's a great man of faith and prayer. He'll get a job. No, I said, as long as you're going to talk to him like you do, it wouldn't do any good to me. Now, see, remember what my text is? I haven't digressed from it. You think I have. Notice the last part of that last verse we looked at. He, that means she too, shall have what? What? Tell me. What?
Whatsoever he saith.
Whatsoever he saith or she saith. Not whatsoever somebody else said. I said, it wouldn't do any good as long as you're going to talk to him like you do. She said, what do you mean? I said, as long as you're going to tell him, ding dong about going to church, first of all, every meal and every time. I said, first, he ought to have been taught back there, but you didn't teach him. You weren't in church yourself. And now at 15 and a half years of age, he's grown this way. You know, you can take a little old tree you set out, just a sapling, and the wind come along, sort of blow it crooked, and you can go out there and drive you down a stake, or a stob, as we call them in Texas, and pull that thing back over, you see, and hold it there and make it grow straight. But you take a pretty good sized tree and try to do that. And when you loosen it, it'll just flop right back over like it was because it grew that way. And so I said, now, number one, don't ever ding-dong him anymore. Don't even ask him to get saved. Don't ask him to go to church. And quit telling him that he's not going to make it, that he's going to wind up in the reform school, and that he's going to wind up in jail, and that he'll never amount to anything. She said, how do you know I talk to him like that? I said, because he's in the mess he's in. See, you've created that. Don't shout me down now, because I'm preaching real good. He shall have whatsoever he saith. She didn't tell me she'd talk that way to her. She said, how do you know I have? I said, because of the way he is. You've created that with what you've said to him. Well, she said, what am I going to do? Well, I said, number one, like I said, leave him alone. That is from the standpoint of ding-donging him about being saved at every meal and getting saved. Don't even ask him to go to church with you. Let him know you love him, all right. But don't even ask him to go to church. Quit trying to poke religion down him. And quit trying to poke Jesus down him. You can't poke Jesus down anybody. Amen?
Yes.
Then secondly, I said, quit lying awake at night worried about him. Well, he didn't come in the other morning until 4 o'clock. Don't know where in the world he was. I said, quit saying, I'm just lying there waiting for the phone to ring, for the police to call. Quit telling him he's going to wind up in the reform school. And he's going to wind up in jail. And wind up, you see, in the wrong place. I said, there, don't say anything to him. But in the nighttime as you lie there, say, Lord, I surround him with faith and love. I don't know where he is. I don't know what he's doing. But I surround him with faith and love. You see, faith and love are the two mightiest forces in the world. There are not any greater forces in all the world than faith and love. I read in the Times magazine several years ago when I was traveling on an airplane somewhere to a meeting or something. And in the Times magazine, you know, there's one section there where they report on medicine, the latest findings and different things. And so I read this statement from the president of the American Medical Association, the president. And so he was talking about the fact, really bemoaning the situation that they've gotten into in the area of medicine. He said, we have too many specialists, and he said, we don't have enough general practitioners. The old-fashioned family doctor, he said, had personal contact with the people. He knew them. He went into their homes. He knew them. And many times, and I know from experience when I was a boy, the doctor made out school, many times, knowing the financial condition of some people, he wouldn't even charge them because he loved them. He said, you see, nowadays in the medical profession, we've lost the greatest healing agency there is, love. Now, there's the president of the American Medical Association saying the greatest healing agent there is love. He recognized the mighty force of love. Well, not only is love a mighty force, but faith is a mighty force. Say, I surround him with faith. I surround him with love. I love him. And I surround him not with natural love, but with the divine love of God. I surround him with faith. I do not believe that he's going to wind up in the penitentiary. I do not believe. See, don't say that. Why? He'll have whatsoever he saith. You see, after all, when you believe the wrong thing and say the wrong thing, it's because you believe it. It works the same thing, same way in reverse as it does in the right direction. Or on the negative side, just like it does on the positive side. I said, say, I believe he'll turn out all right. Make yourself say it. And then go on to sleep. Make yourself. Well, she said, I'll try it. I said, no, don't try it. Do it. All right. Now, 15 months later, they had their fall, their convention in the fall that year. Used to have the convention, Bob, in that, what was that old hotel? Chase Park Plaza. The next year, they had it over in the Hilton, I believe, and in October, see, which was 15 months. And I was invited back again. I used to preach those conventions nearly every year. I had more time than to do now. And every year, they called me. And I wished I could go, because I always enjoyed going there. They treat you, you know, right. Glory to God. Amen. And I never was more well treated anywhere than there. And I enjoyed it. I wished I could go every year. I'd just go every year if I could. You know, that's me from the natural standpoint. But 15 months later, I'm in St. Louis again to full gospel business men's convention. I'm teaching in the afternoon, particularly in those days, most all the time. I'd rather do it yet. I'd rather speak in the afternoon, teach people, bless God. And so I finished my lesson, very first one, and dismissed the folks and started to leave. And here came a lady, just as I was stepping off the platform, and shook hands with me and said, "Brother Egan, you remember me?" Well, I looked at her and I said, "No, as far as I could tell, I have a good memory, you know. I never had seen a woman before in my life." I said, "No, I don't. I really don't. As I see so many people, of course." "Oh," she said, "you know, last August, you was here, I stopped you in the foyer of the hotel over there at the Chase Park Plaza or whatever it is, you know. Wanted you to pray for my son, 15 and a half. "Oh, yeah, I remember that," she said. She said, "I want you to know it worked. God's word always worked, if you work it. It worked." She said, "I had the hardest time." "Oh," she said, "I had problems, trouble with me and with my head." And you know, that's where our greatest problems are. We lay it off on everybody else and even the devil sometimes, but it's with us. And she said, "Man, I just had to bite my tongue sometimes. I just quit ding-donging. I did just what you told me I was doing. Every meal I was after him to get saved, to go to church. And every time, last thing he heard, first thing when he got it in the morning, last thing he heard, well, when he'd leave, because I'd go to bed because I had to work for a living, make a living for the two of us, and he didn't come in. You know, I'd be awake, all right, awakened when he came in the house at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. But the last thing he'd leave was, you know, you're going to wind up in the penitentiary." And she said, "I had just to bite my tongue to stop all that. And I'd lie there at nighttime wondering where he is. And just right back my old habits. Well, just the phone's liable to ring any minute. The police called. He's in jail. They've got him, you know." And she said, "I began to say it." And I'll be honest with you, when I first started saying it, I didn't believe it. But I started saying, "Lord, I surround him with faith. I don't know where he is, but I surround him with love. I surround him with faith. I do not believe." Then she said, I thought, well, I don't know whether I do or not, so I'll put it this way. "I will not believe." And when she said, I started saying, "I will not believe that he's going to wind up in the penitentiary. I will not believe that he's not going to make it." She said, "It wasn't long till I could say with conviction, I believe that he'll make it. I believe he will not wind up in the reform school. He will not wind up in jail." Amen. And said, "I never even asked him to go to church anymore." Well, said one Saturday night after I got on that real good, after many months, one Saturday night, I know when he came in because I heard the door open, you see. He's got a key to the house. 4 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning. Now he's past his 16th birthday, but out to 4 o'clock in the morning. Well, I got up on Sunday morning, made myself breakfast, you see. And he got up rubbing his eyes, you know, just with a few hours sleep, come stumbling in. And hadn't fixed him anything because I thought, well, he'd be sleeping, you know. And he said, "Well, Mom, I believe we'll go with you to Sunday school and church this morning." Well, she said, on the inside, something's jumping up and down. But on the outside, I just acted, "Well, now, son, you might not ought to go because you didn't get in to 4 o'clock this morning and you need your rest. You might ought to stay at home and sleep." "No, I want to go." Just acted nonchalant, you know. "Maybe you shouldn't go," she said. "No, I want to go." So she said, "Well, all right then." So he went. Now, the next Saturday night, it was the same thing. He got in at 4 o'clock in the morning from somewhere, whatever he was doing. And she got up, fixed her a little bite to eat. He only had a few nights of rest, a few hours of rest. But here he come rubbing his eyes, you know, going to eat breakfast. And said, "I believe I'll go to church with you this morning. Sunday school and church." And again, she said, on the inside, there's something turning flips. But on the outside, I just acted like I didn't care if he didn't, where they did or where they didn't. I said, "Now, son, you was out late, you know, and you got to go to school. See, he's 16. He's still in school, you see. On Monday, and you need your rest. You might ought to stay home and rest." "No, I want to go with you." No, you know, you need to get your rest now. You don't want your grades to fall off. You need to get your rest now. You might not ought to go. No, I want to go. So he went. Then she said, that Sunday night, he said, I believe I'll go with you tonight. And when he went, she said, and the altar call was given, he went to the altar and was born again. And then he was baptized with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. And she said, Brother Hagin, thank you. Thank you. I've got a brand new son. And said, just like he was, he's been saved about 6 months, so it was 9 months, you see, out of the 15 before he got saved. She said he's been saved, baptized with the Holy Ghost about 6 months, and said, just like he was 100% for the devil, he's 120% for God. I believe he's going to make a preacher. Man, he's all out for God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise his holy name. Amen. Amen. Now, a fellow here called us, me, you know, here, actually, we have an unlisted number. You have to have. You couldn't get any rest. Calling all hours of the night. Well, you want to help people, all right, but dear Lord, you can't help people if you can't get rest. And then so many times, there really is nothing anyway. I remember on one occasion, you see, they'll go through the operator a lot of time, and the operator, even though you got an unlisted, they won't give you the number. But if they tell them it's an emergency, and they'll lie a lot of times, say it's emergency, well, the operator will put the call through and give it to you that you could call back. Well, I never call any of them back, but some of them, I'll turn them in here and they'll call back, you know. And one lady said when they called back, oh, I just wanted to tell Brother Hagin that Mount St. Helens erupted. Another lady said, we was having an all-night prayer meeting. And I know I shouldn't have done it. I told the operator it's a case of emergency. But I just got to thinking about it. I thought maybe Brother Hagin might have a word for me. I did have it 4 o'clock in the morning. But I don't think I got it from the Lord. I think it was my flesh that's speaking. And the majority of them's like that. Well, anyway, this individual... 16-year-old son run away from home. Actually, he'd been out before and on dope and so on and so forth. And now he's gone. He don't know where he is. He's been gone for a day or two. And so he went through Ken and to get our... And Ken said, well, I think you need to talk to Dad. And so he gave him our number. And so he called me all disturbed. And I said to him, he's going to go out and look. Don't go out and look for him. Leave him alone. Leave him alone. Now, do what I tell you to do and it'll work for you if you'll do it in faith. I said, you say, because he is already unloaded on me, he's going to wind up because he'd already talked to the boy before, and the boy admitted to him that he's on dope and taking dope and so on and so forth. And then, you know, to get the dope, well, they'll do the drugs, they'll do anything in the world, steal anything in the world, you know. And so he's going to wind up, you know, in jail and wind up where I said, now, you stop thinking that and say this. You just don't go looking for him. Just stay home and say, I don't know where he is. He's been gone for 2 days and nights now. This is the third night, I think. I don't know where he is. But wherever he is, Lord, I surround him with faith and love. Say it. See, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He shall have whatsoever. You see, notice that again. Look at it. Oh, I know a lot of folks don't believe it, but that doesn't bother me at all. I believe it because Jesus said it. Hallelujah. Whosoever shall say and not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he saith. Believe what? Believe what? Believe what? Believe what? Those things which he saith. You got to believe in your words. Those things which you say are words, aren't they? Amen. Believe what? Those things which he saith. What about them? What do you believe about the things you say? They shall come to pass. Woo, I don't know whether it'll help you or not. I've already preached me happy. Man, I can get happier preaching about faith than I can heaven. I know more about faith than I do heaven. I've already been there. Glory to God. I'll shout about heaven when I get there. I'll learn more about it. Glory. Believe what? Those things which he saith shall come to pass. So I said, say, I surround him with faith and love. I do not believe he's going to wind up a dope head. I know he's taking dope, but I do not believe he's going to wind up a dope head. I do not believe he's going to wind up in jail. I do not believe he's going to wind up wrong. I believe he's going to turn out right. Keep saying that. Don't go look for him. No, don't go look for him. He was disturbed. I'll tell you, that guy was disturbed. He did it. Well, it wasn't, I don't know, 24 hours, maybe 48 hours. The boy came home, and it wasn't. And I said, now stay with that. Don't give up on it. Once you say it, don't ever say anything else. And I don't think it's 10 days before the boy is born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. In our services here, I was conducting a healing school. He'd come every afternoon for a while, out preaching the gospel today. Somebody said, I wish I could get that to work for my kids. You can't work it a wishing. He didn't say, whosoever shall wish shall not doubt in his heart. Believe those things which he says will come to pass. He'll have whatsoever he wished. No. He'll have whatsoever he said. The way you turn your faith loose is by saying. One way you turn your faith loose. One way is acting. Another, and of course, when you say something, you are acting, aren't you? And it's saying with your mouth what you believe in your heart. Now, I know, and there's no use of getting on the negative side, but I know a lot of people go off spouting off a lot of things with their mouths and don't believe a thing in their heart, and it won't work. I said, it won't work. Amen. Well, I tried that, and it didn't work for me. You just give yourself away by what you said. You tried it. He didn't say, whosoever shall try, you'll have whatever you tried. He said, whosoever shall say. It's not trying, it's doing. That's the reason James said for us to be doers of the word, not just to hearers only. Now, listen. If you're defeated, with your own lips. A lot of times people won't lay it off on the devil. Well, of course, you can listen to the devil if you want to. But here's a verse of scripture that through the years that's been a blessing to me. Proverbs 6:2 said, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. The word snared, that's King James translation I read to you. The margin says, thou art taken captive with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken captive, the margin says. In other words, you are imprisoned with your own words. You said that you could not the moment that you said it. Doubt rose up like a giant and bound you. You said you did not have faith. And the moment you said it, you're whipped. You talk failure, and failure will hold you in bondage. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Never talk failure. Never talk defeat. You talk about trials and your difficulties and your lack of faith, and faith will shrivel. But if you'll talk about how big God is and talk about the word of God, faith will grow by leaps and bounds. Now, I have to preach the same thing to everybody because the word of God's the same. It said here, whosoever shall say. I remember my own dear precious mother who's gone to be with the Lord today. We would come home from meetings, my wife and I, and she'd always say, saved? Yeah. Born again? Yeah. And she'd say, son, always, I'd go visit her, always say, son, pray for me, I believe I've got cancer. I said, Mama, quit saying that. You keep saying that, you'll get it. He'll have whatsoever. Some sooner or later, she just got through saying, I believe it. And she'd go to the doctor and have a checkup, couldn't find a trace of it. Couldn't find, no. She kept saying that over about a 10-year period till finally she came up with cancer. Just kept saying it. Every time I'd come in between meetings and go visit her, she's getting ready to go to the hospital. Mama, I said, quit talking sickness, quit talking hospital, quit talking cancer. I never talk sickness. I don't believe in it. I talk healing and health. I believe in healing and health. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Now, whether you realize it or not, I know you get a lot of criticism along this line, but let it be as it may. I'm going to stay with the word of God. Praise God. And so I would say to my own mother, quit saying that. Quit saying that. I believe I've got cancer. Pray for me. Well, what good would it do for me to pray for her if she believes she's got it? Because you said what you say with your mouth, believe in your heart, you'll have whatsoever you say. I'm just as sure of this fact as I am that I'm standing on this platform. I believe it with every fiber of my being. If you were to bind me hand and foot and take a baseball bat and say, we're going to beat you to death from the top of your head to the sole of your foot, unless you'd say it isn't so, I'd say, start beating. I'd die saying it. I'd die. I would not recant. Our words dominate us. our words dominate us. Are you listening to me? Mighty few Christians know that. There is a spiritual law. I believe that there are spiritual laws that apply in the spirit realm just exactly like there are natural laws that work and apply here in the natural realm. Amen. Amen.